Well, as Dr. Whitless stated, it's a wonderful to be here with one another today and to start off the year as we did last night with one another in the picnic and new students. So it's a great to be here. And I do trust if you're a new student, you'll find that these daily times of worship are a place of refuge and encouragement. And you can put away all your studies and all that things that you can worry about and just come and worship the Lord. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, where we'll be looking at, I'll be reading verses 10 through 20, but my focus will be on verses 18 and 19. As we were sitting yesterday, you can find that on page 1245, 1245 in the chapel Bibles. As we were sitting in the meet and greet yesterday, I was encouraged, one of our newer staff people, when they asked what they really love about being here at RPTS, they said, the seminary is a place of prayer. And she didn't know I was going to be speaking on this subject today, but that's really what we're going to be looking at, is praying in the Spirit. I like to use this first message to kind of set a theme in our minds for the year. And this isn't the first time that prayer has been one of those themes, but I want us to return to that. And so with that in mind, let me read to you Paul's word to the church at Ephesus in verses 10 through 20 of chapter 6. Hear his word. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let us pray. Father, we do ask this morning that the Spirit who has given us these words would now illuminate them and empower them, bring them to life in our own bodies and souls, so that we might live according to your instruction here. For we ask it for the sake of Christ and his glory. Amen. Well, in this context of putting on the gospel armor, Paul in verse 18 gives us this participle that we are to be praying at all times in the Spirit. We're to be praying in the Spirit of God. It's as if he's saying, having put on and taken up the armor that you have been equipped with by the Lord, make sure that you also have the strength you need to bear that armor. We can believe in Christ's righteousness, and it can serve as a breastplate to us. We can know the gospel and have a great desire to use our feet shod with it to go and take that gospel to other people. We can be attacked by the evil one and use our faith like a shield to try to ward off those attacks. But if we're not a praying people, our strength will fail in the day of battle. Many historians will tell you that many wars were lost, not for lack of weaponry or bravery on the battlefield, but because the supply lines failed, the front lines. The provisions didn't make it to the soldiers, and they didn't have the strength for the battle. And we need to ask God to give us that strength as we pray and use these weapons so that they're not used in powerlessness or to no avail.
There's an old hymn that says, put on the gospel armor, put it on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, never be wanting there. We've got to put on the armor fully with prayer. And so it really raises the question, as he tells us to pray in the Spirit, well, how do you do that? Like, how do you pray in the Spirit? What does the Apostle Paul mean by that? And I think we're given the indication of what that means in verses 18 and 19 in the way that he, four different times, he uses the word all. It just sort of helps us to understand the fullness and the variation of the Spirit's work in prayer. And so let's look at it that way with these four simple admonitions of how to pray in the Spirit. First of all, you just pray in all situations. That's how you pray in the Spirit. You pray in all situations. He says, praying at all times in the Spirit. In the original, that word times translated in the ESV is singular. So it's you could really read this, pray in every occasion or each instance you are to be in prayer. A soldier can never let down his guard, and neither can the Christian soldier. And Jesus taught us this so many times and in so many ways. You remember in Luke, as he's telling his disciples how to pray, he gives them a parable, and we're told he told them that parable so that they would pray at all times and never lose heart. And so we're to pray at all times in the Spirit. I was at a Banner of Truth conference a number of years ago, and Sinclair Ferguson was speaking. And at one point in his message, he shared with us that when he teaches at seminaries, he often asks his students, what's the first thing you want to do if you want to be filled with the Spirit? What's the first thing you do? And he usually gets blank stares looking at him. And he says, well, you sing the Psalms. You sing the Psalms if you want to know how to be, if you want to be filled with the Spirit. And if you want to pray at all times in the Spirit. And though he's not an exclusive psalm singer, he was really grieving over the lack of the use of the Psalms in the life of the church, generally speaking. And he was really reflecting what a chapter back, chapter 5 of this epistle teaches us, that we're not to be drunk with wine, but we're to be filled with the Spirit. And then it tells us how you're filled with the Spirit. You sing God's word to him. Calvin told us the Psalter is really gives us the anatomy of the soul. And then as he's speaking about that, he's speaking of the fact that the Psalter speaks to all the situations of life that we find ourselves in as believers. Commenting on this, Robert Godfrey says, what Calvin is saying in this is that the Psalter shows how Christians are to offer praise and prayer to God amid all the various circumstances of life. At all times. So anytime a worrying thought comes to mind, fear, need, thanks, whatever it is, these are prompts. These are spiritual prompts by the Holy Spirit to be praying unto God. So pray in all situations. And then pray all types of prayer. Pray all types of prayer. He says, pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Hendrickson, commenting on this, says the soldier's communion with the general is not just of one kind, that we are to have various types of communication with God our Father in prayer. And this is praying. This is part of what praying in the Spirit is. We shouldn't be one-dimensional in our prayers. If you think about the type of prayer that usually issues forth from the lips of God's people, it's prayers in the time of trouble. We get in trouble and then we know to pray. Because prayer is, in a sense, the exercise of our needs before God. And it's okay to pray in times of trouble. We're encouraged in the Psalter to pray in times of trouble. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. And so we are to be praying in times of trouble. But think about your prayer life. Does it reflect the fullness of the Scriptures, the fullness of the Psalms as you pray? And I'm really not here to make you feel guilty this morning. That is not my desire at all as I erase this before you. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm hoping that the Spirit will breathe more desire in your heart and to just want to do this. Think about praying prayers of thanksgiving. We know that in everything we are to give thanks. And in the setting of fighting this spiritual battle against the enemies of God, we always have to keep in mind one thing about this war. It's already over. It's already over. Christ has been crucified. He has been buried. He has been raised. And he is ascended and seated at the right hand of God with all authority and power at his disposal. Sin is defeated. The devil has been conquered. And we are just trotting out in the victory that he has won. And so we have every reason, every day, to give thanks to God in joy for the fact that the battle is over. No matter how difficult in the moment it can seem, we know the outcome. We know what's going to happen. And we need to keep our eye fixed on not only the victory, but the victor in these times. And so every time we see a kingdom advancement, every time we see someone who's converted, every time we see the Lord drawing us closer, even when we see him bringing difficulty into our lives to teach us deeper lessons and to sanctify us further, we should be giving him thanks. And he is the God who is redeeming the creation. So every time a bird sings or a bee buzzes, we should be thanking him. Well, maybe not for yellow jackets, but in most cases, when a bee buzzes, we should be just thanking God all the time for everything that he has done for us. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's our strength as believers. We should also be filled with praises of our God, just filled with praises of our Lord. Our heart was created to praise God. We know that. It's the first answer to the catechism. We're to glorify him, to praise him all day long. And yet, it's so easy to take our eyes and our minds off of him for a time. But we need to keep him there. The greatness of our Father and the Son and the Spirit. Just the wonder of our salvation and the mercy that he has shown sinners like you and me. The greatness of his majesty. The greatness of his power. We just need to keep thinking and praying about those things because that's our strength. And the scriptures tell us that the God of Israel is enthroned upon the praises of his people. So enthrone him, soldier. Enthrone him. And find your strength in praising his name. And there's another kind of petition that we need, another type of prayer that this particular passage would bring to our minds, or should bring to our minds. Yet it's one I think that we often don't go deep enough in, or we're not specific enough about, because the word supplication is the idea of going and pleading for a specific request. And one of the things we need to be reminded of every day is our sin, and the need to be specific about taking our sin to the Lord. That's how we walk in this victory and pray in the Spirit as well, because the Holy Spirit is holy, and he wants a holy people, and he convicts us specifically. You don't see a leper in the Gospels running up to Jesus or crying out to Jesus saying, "Would you just kind of heal leprosy in the general?" They go up and they say, "Cleanse me, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord." It's easy for us when we're praying for forgiveness. Just kind of forgive our sins in general. Forgive me, O God, for my anger. Instead of, "Father, I just was impatient, showed my short temper once again with my wife, my dear wife. Would you forgive me, even as I go now, and ask her to do the same?" We've got to be varied and specific in our prayers. Pray all types of prayers. And then pray with all alertness, we're told here. It says at the end of verse 18 that praying in the Spirit should lead to an end, that we're kept alert with all perseverance. This alertness, this word alert, really should bring to our minds the concept of the watchman that we find so often in Scripture. Literally, this word means to not fall asleep, to stay awake, and we should be alert in prayer. Again, this is used throughout the Scriptures. Isaiah uses it so beautifully as he's looking at the Messianic age, the New Jerusalem. In Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7, "On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves. Give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth." An incredible thing about that is when you are praying in the Spirit, when you're alert in prayer, you're fulfilling prophecy. God working what he promised to do through your life and the life of the church. Are you awake in prayer? It's so easy to become dulled by the devil's devices, lulled by Lucifer's lullabies, and get sleepy and fall under the influence of the evil one. And we've got to stay awake. I'm tempted right now just to kind of yell that out. Wake up, but I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'll come to you in the gentleness of Christ. I'll say to you what he said to the church at Sardis. Wake up and strengthen that which remains. It's a time to be alert. As we're hearing, as brothers, dear brothers and sisters in Christ are going back to serve in hard and difficult places. It's a time to be alert in prayer. And if you need a little help in that regard, here's my special announcement. If you need a little, you know, prayer jolt, a little caffeine for your prayer life, 1 o'clock in my office, 1 to 1:25, as we pray for the ministry of the church and the seminary. Now, I heard that bell, and I'll hear it as your homiletics professor, but I did get up here 5 minutes late, so I'm going to finish my sermon. I'm going to pray and encourage you also to pray for all the people of God as we conclude here. Verse 18 ends, make supplication for all the saints. We're not in this battle alone. We're here together with others. And one of the things you're already discovering if you're a new student, and certainly we appreciate for those of us who have been here longer, is that RPTS is a beautiful crossroads, a wonderful crossroads of the kingdom of God. He is bringing all types of different people here, all shapes and sizes, spiritually speaking. Well, I guess physically speaking too, but especially spiritually speaking. We have Baptists and Presbyterians. We've got RPs and NAPARC brothers. We have men and women. We have blacks and whites. We have Native Asians and Asian Americans. We have old students and young. I knew he was going to do that. I was about to say like Mike. And probably the biggest difference of all, we have city folk and rural. There's just a lot of difference, a lot of variation here. And in the book of Ephesians, that's celebrated. That's celebrated because Christ has come and broken down dividing walls of hostility. And he tells us to be diligent in the Spirit of God to preserve the bonds of unity. And prayer does that. We go before God in prayer. We go before his throne. We're not practicing partiality or discrimination. We pray for all the saints. We pray for one another. And here at RPTS, you'll learn to do that, whether it's in my office at 1 or in times where you're asked to pray with one another in class, or you form prayer teams or prayer partners because of assignments that you're given. This is a place of prayer, and let's keep it that way, a place where we're praying for one another, where a fellow believer's struggle is my struggle, and his accomplishment is my joy. As I conclude here, I want to remind you of the Spirit's presence in the life of our Lord. He was baptized by the power of the Spirit, the presence of the Spirit. And then before he entered his public ministry, he went into the wilderness for 40 days of prayer and fasting. And the Scriptures tell us in the Gospel of Luke that when he returned. It says he returned in the power of the Spirit. In seminary, we focus a lot on the Word of God, and we should. We should. You're going to learn to study it and dissect it and see it inside and out, and that's a wonderful thing. But do not leave here. Do not leave this place without also growing and praying in the Spirit, because that's also part of your needed preparation for gospel ministry. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for our Savior. We're so grateful for his redemption and how he has won this battle. And as the ascended one, he has sent your Holy Spirit to the church. We pray, O God, that we would be more aware of our need of him, that we would seek his presence in our lives more diligently, and that, God, that you would be pleased to fill us with his strength and with his power so that, Father, we can engage in this battle with the strength that he provides. Hear our prayers, Father. In Christ we ask. Amen. We're going to conclude by singing Psalm 70, Psalm 70, Selection A, where we get some words put in our lips to ask God in any situation to come quickly to our aid. Please stand as we sing.